I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Baby, I've been here before. I know this room. I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew ya. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 I did my best, it wasn't much, couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though when all went wrong, stand before the Lord of Song, with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Testament scripture this morning is from John 20, verses 19. Okay. It's John 20, verses 19 through 31, and can be found on page 115 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. I love that song. Can we sing too many alleluias? Is that even remotely possible? Praise be to God. I mean, that's why we come to worship for an hour. That's why we take those times and private meditation, and we're there speaking to the Lord, and, you know, praise God. And, oh, by the way, Lord, thank you for those healing graces. And, oh, by the way, Lord, thank you for that healing rain. And, oh, by the way, Lord, thank you for those blooming flowers. Not the dandelions, but the dandelions as well. We thank you, Lord, for those things. And in that, you know, hallelujah. Ah, it's a wonderful piece. Thank you, Virginia, for sharing that with us today. John, scriptures continuing from last week, where we looked at John chapter 20 and Mary going to the tomb and finding that the stone had been rolled away and not really wanting to look inside, but they've taken the Lord, and she runs back to see who? Peter. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, and they race to the tomb, and one looks in, and then the other looks in, and one believes, and the other just leaves. And, well, we don't really know detailed whether both of them believed, and they don't tell us what it is exactly that they believe, because it really wasn't well known, even though Jesus had told them that he would be killed. But then on the third day, He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it back up. Then on that third day, he would rise. But what's the driving motive in the disciples? Fear. Now, even after this John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, it takes place later that evening. So Jesus has already appeared on the road to Emmaus with these two men, and they've raced back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that they've seen the Lord. Mary's told them that they see the Lord. And then all of a sudden, where are they? They're still in this upper room. They're still hiding. They're still scared. They still don't truly believe. So we don't need to hammer Thomas too hardly on this, because in the telling, all of them are doubting. Because none of them has fully committed to anything other than Mary there at the tomb when she says, my Lord, when she recognizes Jesus, even though she thought at first he was a gardener. Go figure. It's like she had seen his body wrapped and prepared and laid on a slab that Friday before. Can you wonder why she doubted? Can you wonder why she wasn't expecting to see Jesus outside that tomb? Well, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house and the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Well, what's unusual about that? Jesus had shown up many, many times, right? But they're in a locked room, right? And Jesus just kind of shows up. He didn't come through a door. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he came through a window. He just shows up. So this resurrection body that Jesus has properties that are not what we would think of as ours. Like if I try to walk through that wall, we know what's going to happen. Things go bump in the night, and that would probably leave a mark on the wall and on me. But Jesus' body, he's able to walk through and into that room. And it's not so much what that resurrection body is able to do, it's what Jesus Christ has done. And what he's done is fulfill what God had said would be done. But he stands among them, and what does he say? Peace be with you. Now, why do you think he's saying that? To calm them down? What do you think is, if he comes in there and he sees the looks on their faces, you know, because they don't expect him to show up. They've got two reports, one from Mary, one from the other apostles, that the tomb is empty and that she has seen Jesus. And the two from on the road to Emmaus, they've come and said that they've seen the Lord. Well, okay. You heard the phrase, seeing is believing, right? If I can't see it, I don't believe it. What's faith? The hope for things not yet seen. So they didn't have enough faith to realize that Jesus was going to fulfill the promise that he would lay down his life and that he would take it back up again. But they're just like you and me in reality. We're waiting to see proof of one thing or another. He says, peace be with you, because I tell you, on every one of those people's faces was either doubt, despair, anxiety. He sees what they're feeling. Matter of fact, I think when he comes in the room, you could feel their fear. You could feel their anguish. And he says, peace be with you. Now, that's not peace as the world gives you, but peace as Christ gives you. That's shalom. He says, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them a commission. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But here's the kicker. Thomas is not there. And after, was not with them when Jesus came. So later, so that's the first appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And we don't hear what goes on intervening between what else Jesus said and when he left, how he left, but he's left. And now Thomas comes to see them and he says, as they tell him, "We have seen the Lord." He says to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. The doors are shut. Jesus comes and stands among them and he says, "Peace be with you." And then he says to Thomas, oh goodness. Oh, you know, he gets this bad rap about doubting Thomas. You know, Jesus showed his hands and his sides to all of those disciples in the room when he appeared the first time. You don't think they were wondering? You don't think there was some doubt on their part? Don't you think he reassured them by doing that? He does the same thing with Thomas. The difference here was, look at what Thomas had said in verse 25 above. "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Ouch. That's a willful statement that he won't believe, and there's a condition, I won't believe unless I see it. Well, the others have seen it, and now Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And we don't have the graphic representation. We don't know, but we can certainly feel the anguish that Thomas had to have felt. And in my mind, in my image, I can see Thomas just dropping right then and there, right down to his hands and knees, and just looking up at the Lord and saying, "My Lord and my God." And he doesn't have to say anything else because everything else is implied in what he has done. He's just collapsed in front of him. He's looked at him and he's not just said, "My Lord and my God." I mean, with tears running down his face and with all the emotion that comes from, "Oh, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a wicked man." He's saying, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus doesn't give him a lengthy diatribe. He doesn't beat him up. He just says, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Is that the only reason you believe, because you see me?" I mean, that had to strike a heart as well. But don't blame Thomas alone, because I guarantee you there were some of those disciples that didn't believe either, even though they had seen, because in other accounts it says that some saw and some believed. If we think that there were just the 11 that have seen him, that's not true either. When you look at all of the different Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of those upper room experiences or those experiences gives different details about different people. We know that Mary is probably there. We know that Cleopas and the other that were there with Jesus on the road to Emmaus were there. And we know that in this upper room, there were probably many, many more than just the apostles. So Jesus has appeared to many, and some did not believe. But Jesus says, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." What is faith? We have that in Hebrews. What is faith? Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. You have hope and belief and have faith in something that you haven't seen. They have hope and faith that when Jesus said, "I go to my Father's house so that he'll send a comforter, counselor, an advocate to be with you, but I will come again." We haven't seen that yet, but we did see the Comforter and Counselor at Pentecost, when Peter preaches, the Holy Spirit, like flames, over thousands of people. And Peter was a really, really good preacher, right? No. Peter wasn't all that great a preacher, but when the Holy Spirit takes hold of him, he had to have been a convincing preacher. Not because he was an eloquent, educated person, but because he had the Holy Spirit touching him, leading him. When the Holy Spirit speaks, people listen. It's not just an ad for E.F. Hutton. When the Holy Spirit speaks, people listen. We should. John continues in his gospel. He says, now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. Again, people will say, well, you know, that wasn't written in the scriptures. Well, okay. He doesn't tell us about a lot of things because he's working and focusing on the most important things. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The Messiah, not as the Jews of his day anticipated, a Judas Maccabeus, but Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, not a King David or a King Solomon Messiah, but a Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. That you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And not just a life where you're continuing to breathe, not just a life where, you know, you continue to exist, not just a life where you're kept on life support, but to have a life abundant. Have a life abundant. You know, you get to look at the grandkids and you smile. Why? Because that's a fulfilled and abundant life. When we get the word, the surgeon comes in and tells us the surgery was a success. And even though you can't get in there yet, did that make Bob happy? No doubt. No doubt in my mind. But when we see those, Linda, when you talked about when they wheeled your cart, your bed past where Don was in the recovery room, and he just kind of waved at you. You couldn't touch yet, but you could see him. I mean, that's the fulfillment of a hope for things not yet seen. But when you see it, oh, isn't it just fabulous? Isn't it just wonderful? Hallelujah! And we're going to see Don here in not too many 5 weeks. Yeah, well, I wasn't going to get into that. You can take the technology away from the boy, but you can't take, yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? The faith is a hope for things not yet seen. Do we have to see it to believe it? Oh, how hollow and shallow that life would be. When you come down the aisle and you take an oath and a promise with each other. You don't know what life's going to hold for you, but you hope it's joy. And in the bliss of those first few moments when it's Mr. and Mrs. and Michael, you may now kiss your bride. The joy and the anticipation and the excitement that's in that instant, in that moment, you don't know how many dirty dishes in the sink. You don't know how many socks that have been thrown left and other articles of clothing that have been left because some of us just aren't all that great basketball. We can't seem to make it into the clothes hamper. But there are also those joys when we're standing outside the hospital room waiting for our first child to be born. And when the doctor comes out, or you get to go in and see, or if you're, you know, a Lamaze class or something like that, and you see the child born, and there's that love, or you're waiting for your grandchild to come out, or you see that. I mean, those are the hope, and then think of the joy that's there when you see him. Well, Thomas is just like the other disciples. They questioned and they wondered and they doubted. But in both cases, what does Jesus say? Peace. Peace I leave with you. He tells, now he, it's not that Thomas doesn't have the same, because Jesus doesn't say, it doesn't, John does not tell us that Jesus breathes on Thomas. He doesn't say after that that he's commissioned Thomas as he commissioned the other disciples ahead of time. It's meant for both of those. Thomas has just as much a commission. He'll have just as much the Holy Spirit in his mission as Peter, James, and John, Andrew. So we don't look at that and say, well, only those that were there the first night had the Holy Spirit breathed on them. What happens at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit's there with all of them. And that really is the, most of the commentators say that's really the true presence of the Holy Spirit, because he descends and it's evidenced and seen by others. And there's evidence of that, because what? They're speaking in tongues. They're from all over the world speaking in different tongues, and they all understand each other. Wow, what a blessing. Faith. Hope. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Jesus came so that we would have faith and that we would have hope. And he came to give us his love. He came to show us what love really means. And if we study, follow, seek, we will find. And then we need to walk in the path and do likewise. These are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. If you believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That's why it was written. That's why Christ came, so that you would have a life, an everlasting life, an abundant life. Shalom.